This is Inman's Real Estate Radio, where we go behind the scenes with the industry's movers and shakers to learn what's next for real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit Inman.com. Here's your host, Bernice Ross.
Welcome. I'm Bernice Ross, the CEO of RealEstateCoach.com, and I'm very happy to welcome one of my favorite technology experts in the industry, Jerry Kidd. Jerry is the branch manager for Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Drysdale. That's in Danville, California. And he has been on the cutting edge of technology advancements for as long as I've known him, which is for over 20 years. He currently manages three offices, and his blog is RealtyTechBytes.com. And that's, again, RealtyTechBytes, BYTES.com. Jerry's with us today to share tech tips that are going to help you to increase your business. Welcome, Jerry, and thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Bernice. I'm just astonished to find out that we've known each other for 20 years. I was afraid it was like 30. But
it may be that long. I want to mention that, though. It's probably true, actually. So
we do go back, yeah.
Yes, a long time back to, when I was at John Douglas, it was like in the 90s. So anyway, long time ago.
I think so, yeah.
Yep. So anyway, Jerry, you know, you've had a chance to see how agents learn technology best. Can you, for our listeners, say that I'm having a challenge with my technology or I want to learn a new tool? What's the best way to learn it? Do I need to go to a class? Do I need to do something individual? What do you recommend?
Here's what my experience has shown me. The classrooms that we normally would go to learn new technologies are wonderful in what they can do. But the problem is that people in the classroom all have different levels of experience. And the folks that are just beginning with something are left behind if the instructor is catering to the folks that are more advanced. And if the instructor is catering to the beginning people, then the folks that are advanced are feeling bored and frustrated. But the bigger problem is, even if you walk out of the classroom and you're feeling like you had been given everything you need to know, typically when we get back to our offices, we're immediately involved in a transactional situation. The phone rings, the client needs something, we have to show a property, there's a problem to solve, whatever, and off we go to deal with the pressures of our businesses. And this goes on, and eventually we don't get around to applying what we learned in the classroom. But I just feel like classroom learning may not be the best way to learn technology. Personal belief is that technology is best taught by sitting down with somebody that you can articulate your problem to. What are you trying to solve, or what are you trying to figure out how to do, and have that person coach you to the right solution and then stay with you through the actual learning of how to do it.
Now, that sounds pretty time-consuming. Is that actually the case?
Pretty much so. I mean, you first have to start out with defining your problem that you're trying to solve, and that's something that as an individual endeavor, you have to sit down, probably write it down and say, here's what I'm having a problem with. For instance, I might have my contacts on my phone. I might have some contacts in the MLS, data management system. I might have some contacts in my brokerage system. I might even have some written down in my day timer or whatever. And how do I get them all into one spot? And how do I classify them? And, you know, what's the best tool for me to use? So you got to sit down and figure all that out. What do you really need to have done? And then talk with somebody who can talk intelligently with you about the different solutions that are available and help you make a decision. And then sit down and train you on how to use the system and how to use it on your daily business. That could take some time. It could be, you know, several weeks worth of meetings. Maybe an hour or two per session with somebody to figure it out and get started. You know, if you put the time into it that way, then you'll end up with a tool that you can actually use that will solve your problem.
Jerry, one of the things that has helped me is I have a virtual assistant. Have you had any of your agents use a virtual assistant to address this problem? And if so, what were the results?
Probably the best example of that is my wife is also a real estate broker. And she used the virtual assistant for about a year. And I think that the results were less than satisfactory, but not entirely the fault of the virtual assistant. I really think that part of what my wife needed to do and didn't get to because of the pressures of the business was properly laying out what needed to be done and what her expectations were of the virtual assistant. So I don't want to trash virtual assistants just from that one example. I don't see too many people using them today. I see a lot of people are using transaction coordinators. We use those in our company. That the TC takes care of quite a bit of the work that the virtual assistants may have done in the past. They may work out for some folks. They may not work for others. I think if you're going to use one, you probably need to spend the time to articulate what needs to be done and what your expectations are to get the most out of it.
One of the questions I hear all the time is, well, if I'm going to be on the social media, I can't be everywhere. And, they kind of, what every study says, well, I should be on Facebook. You don't always agree with that as the first place. Could you say a little bit more about why you feel that Facebook may not always be the best platform to start with?
I love that question. I hear it all the time myself. And there's a lot of pressure from people in our industry, some other trainers and so forth, saying this is where you need to be. But I really think you have to first figure out where are your clients, where is your sphere of influence, what platform do they use? And if my sphere of influence, the people that I'm trying to reach, is on LinkedIn, and I'm trying to find them on Facebook, it may not be successful. So I think you first have to figure out, okay, who am I trying to reach, and where do they play? And that's where I should be. Just on a purely 30,000-foot look at the whole thing, figure out where your clients are first. Now, I am a big fan of Facebook advertising. And I'm not advertising to my sphere of influence on Facebook. I'm advertising to people I haven't met yet. I'm advertising to people who may be in the market to do a transaction. I'd love to spend some time talking about that with you, Bernice.
Jerry, I like that idea. When we were prepping for the call, you gave the example, what should I do? Or the question you asked was, what should I do if I need to get a listing this week? How would I go about getting it? So how would I use Facebook to go about getting a listing this week?
Here's what I would do. I would first of all figure out in my marketplace or in the area or the town that I want a listing in, who owns the properties? I mean, who's the majority of the people that are homeowners in that area? And one of the demographics that I like to talk about going after is the baby boomer marketplace. And baby boomers will define as anybody 55 and older for the purposes of this discussion. And let's just say that I want to have listings in my zip code. So I go to Facebook advertising platform and I start out by choosing my demographic area, my geographic area, and I'll put in my zip code. And I can put a radius around it if I wish, or I can just leave it at the zip code. But then I'm going to choose people who are 55 and older. And then I'm going to choose people who are homeowners. And then the next little hidden gem that Facebook advertising has is something I can filter by people who are likely to move. So this will then target a number of people who will receive the ad, who are living in my zip code, who are a certain 55 and older, who are homeowners and who are likely to move. Facebook will tell me how many people that's likely to be. If it's less than 1,000, then I don't want to run that ad in that area because less than 1,000 could be just one or two people. But I'm looking typically for several thousand people that could see the ad. So now I write an ad that says, if you're thinking of selling your home, here's the 10 mistakes you don't want to make. And in the body of the ad, I might say, homeowners who have made these mistakes have left thousands of dollars on the table. Free report will help you avoid these mistakes. Click here. So someone clicks on that ad, and they're taken to what's called a landing page. And that's just a page on your website where you say, and the only thing you say on that page is, here's your free report. I'm just giving your name and your email address, and I'll be happy to email this to you right away. So someone does that. So here's what's happened. I run the ad. It only shows to the people that fit my criteria. They click on the ad. They go to my landing page. Some people may just click away, but others will fill the information in. They'll give you their name and their contact information. if they don't give you the correct email address, they won't get it. So they may give you a bogus one at first and then realize you're not getting the report. So they will then give you the correct address. You'll end up with a mailing list of people who want to hear from you who are thinking of selling your home. I'm now going to stay in touch with those folks and ask them if they would like to have a CMA of their present home, if they would like to receive more information, if they'd like to know what's going on in the marketplace. And if I have enough people on that list, somebody's going to sell their home this week. Somebody's going to invite me for a listing appointment. It's a tremendous way to build information, a list of information of people who are thinking of selling their home. Very little cost to do that. Maybe $100 to run the ad over 3 or 4 days, and I will probably end up somewhere in the vicinity of 20, 30 leads just from that ad, depending, of course, on how many you start with.
Wow, that's amazing. So, Jerry, tell me a little bit more about what I should put in that free report once people get to my landing page. What do I need to say?
We already have that information, believe it or not. Somewhere in your real estate office, somewhere in your real estate travels, you've run across something that someone's given you or you've talked about, but it essentially talks about what we would tell people to help them get their home ready for sale. We make the mistake of thinking everybody knows this information. They don't, especially if someone hasn't sold a home for many years. They're not going to know what this information is, but some of it might be, you know, getting the curb appeal correct. Repairing leaky faucets, loose doorknobs, broken light switches, decluttering the house, you know, those sorts of things. Getting rid of pet odors or cooking odors, the little fresh coat of paint. All the things that we talk about with our sellers normally when we do a listing presentation, these are things that could be included in this report. It's all valuable information. It would be something somebody would be glad to have, and it would help position you as the right to go to agent. So again, don't think that you don't know this information. You already know it. You've already done that. You've already given that information out. Just type it up in your word processor. Include your contact information, a photo of yourself, and you're ready to go.
You know, Jerry, when we were looking for the call, you talked a little bit about the specific concern that a lot of boomers have about financial mistakes. Could you elaborate on that a little bit? Because it's a pain point that's something that will motivate people to contact the agent.
You know, when you're younger and you make a financial mistake, you've got a fairly lengthy working career ahead of you to recover from that. But if you're in your 60s or so and you make a financial mistake, you don't have a lot of income earning years left to correct it. And making a mistake in selling a home and leaving money on the table, that money is lost forever for somebody that's in their 60s or 70s. There's no chance for them to recover that. So I like to headline my ads, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to play from fear a little bit and just say, you know, don't make these mistakes. Let me help you avoid them. Let me help you put money in your pocket by showing you the way to avoid making the mistakes in selling your home.
You know, to me, that's not playing on fear when, in the sense that you are giving me a solution to help me avoid a problem rather than getting into it. So, you know, I love that approach. I think it's really a good one. So, Jerry, I've got my Facebook ad. I'm going to direct them to my website, but there's a challenge if I just send them to my generic website. What do I need to do that's going to be more specific?
Okay, here's the problem with most of our generic websites, and please don't take this personally, but pretty much every real estate website looks like everybody else. You know, real estate, as the boys in Internet Crusade said years ago, real estate's a Me Too business. So if I go to any real estate website, I'm going to see much the same thing. I'm going to see how to search for a home. I'm the best realtor in the area. I'm the best company in the area. We have this. We have that. Frankly, folks, we all have the same stuff. So if I send somebody from my ad to that, I'm going to lose them. What I want to send them to is a specialized page that the only thing on the page is the answer to what the ad promised. So if the ad promised that there was going to be this free report, then that's all that should be on the page. Thank you for clicking on my ad. My free report is 5 pages long, and it contains information to help you avoid making the mistake when you list your home for sale. Just give me your name and your email address in the form over here on the right. And I'll be happy to get that sent over to you right away, even if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, that's the landing page. It has very little information on it, just the information necessary to answer what the folks were promised in the ad. Now, how do you get that? Well, you know, if you're capable of building your own websites, that's fine. Some of our real estate websites providers will do it for you. Some company websites have that facility built in. If you don't have that ability to do that, as well as the ability to capture the email addresses, there are some companies out there that have some products that put the whole package together for you. And Bernice, I'll be happy to talk about those if you wish.
Oh, I'd love for you to do that, because we always like having tech tools. And you've actually experimented with a couple of these. Could you say?
I absolutely have.
Yeah, I'd love to hear, who are the companies and what happened?
Okay. The very first company I ran across was called HomeValueLeagues.com. And they're out of Southern California. And what happened with them was I signed up for their product. They asked me to go to GoDaddy and come up with a URL that I wanted to use with their product. So I did. And so there's $15 to register a domain name. And then they connected it to their product. And the domain name that I registered was danvillehomevalues.com or something like that. They then taught me how to run a Facebook ad step by step that would send traffic to this landing page that they created for me. So I went through that whole process. It took about an hour from start to finish. And I ran the ad on a Wednesday afternoon around 4 o'clock. And by 7 o'clock that evening, I had 9 leads where people were interested in getting the value of their home. And Home Value Leads product has an automated valuation model built into it. So if you go to it and you plug in your street address, it'll give you a value of your home. Not only will it do that, it will also put you into their CRM system, and it has a series of follow-up emails that go out on a spaced interval with your contact information on it. So out of the 9 people that signed up for valuations, all 9 of them signed up to receive those valuation email follow-ups. That was one product. Another one was called ClientCreator.com, another Southern California product. This guy, I think he has 10 different ways to attract people to give up their contact information, including free reports already built in and buyer follow-up leads and seller leads and so forth. Both of these products run in the $50 to $60 a month range. And you don't have to run Facebook ads with them. You could run Google ads. You could run LinkedIn ads. You could run newspaper ads. You could put it as your tagline in your email signature. It's all about just sending traffic to them. And again, you're looking for people that are thinking of selling their home or want to know what the value of their home is, or people who are looking to buy a home, not necessarily people in your sphere of influence. So it's a great prospecting tool that works pretty well.
To kind of wrap up here, what are your takeaways for our listeners?
I really think that the very first thing someone should do is sit down and write out, where are the pain points in my business? What's the problems that I need to solve to help me do more business? And there may be a technology answer for it. And if there is, then I want to seek out somebody who would help me solve that problem. I wish there was a national registry of tech geeks that are savvy in real estate products, but there isn't. So you may have to ask around and find out if there's someone who could coach you on how to use technology tools that would help your business. But truthfully, you first have to start out with defining the problem, because without a definition of the problem, it's really hard to figure out where to go for help. My experience has been that most agents would just love to have something that they could set and forget. But, you know, there's just not that much of it out there. I think Home Value Leads and Client Creator come close to doing that for prospecting. Many of the social media products that we look at today, looking at Facebook and things of that nature, you know, truly they require a lot of care and feeding. And what I mean by that is that you have to post every day, and you're posting to your sphere of influence, and hopefully they're posting or cross-posting your information. And I just don't see that happening that much. So back to the, you know, let's just go out and find something that solves the problem that I have today, get that working, and then we'll start looking for other ways to enhance my business. But start out with identifying the problem.
Jerry, thank you. This has been extremely informative and very helpful. And I have never heard anyone really lay out a clear-cut plan about how I can use Facebook to get a listing this week. This was simple and to the point. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
We've been visiting with Jerry Kidd. He is the branch manager for Berkshire Hathaway Homes Services Drysdale. They're in Danville, California. And Jerry's been with us today to share tech tips that will help you to increase your business.
This is Bernice Ross, and thank you for joining us for Inman Real Estate Radio. Be sure to tune in next Thursday when we'll be back with the industry's movers and shakers to learn what's next for real estate. For more insight, news, and analysis, visit Inman.com. Make it a great day.